speech by Daryl. Let's deal with it. He dealt with Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. He says, and he said this about five or six of my passages. He says, this is not talking to children, but to Israelites. All Israelites are children at one time. Now let's look at the verse. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. And he says, it's talking to adults. But let me ask you something. If Seth inherited the sin of Adam, then it would be true. I'm talking about when he's an infant. Then it would be true that the son bore the iniquity of the father. If when I was an infant, when I was born, I inherited the sin of Adam through my father, it would be true then that the son shall bear the iniquity of the father. So this verse contradicts Daryl's position. That was sort of just a little dodge about it, saying not talking about infants. It basically is talking about anybody. Infants, all of us, a man's 89 years old, it wouldn't matter. It says the son, and when the infant is born, he's a son, and he has a father 100% of the time, except Jesus only had an earthly father, but Jesus had an earthly mother. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. And Daryl says the son does bear the iniquity of the father when he's an infant. He says this is not talking about an infant. It's talking about infants. Those are 5 years old. Those are 20. If you're a son, you didn't bear the iniquity of your father. If you're 1 second old, right when you come out of that womb, this verse says you didn't inherit the iniquity of your father because you're a son and you got a father. So we could go home tonight with this verse. This is God speaking. It says the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. And Daryl says he does if he's an infant. And God says he doesn't. Do you see that? This verse directly addresses the question of this debate, and it says, and it's not ambiguous at all. It is clear as everything that the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. And that contradicts directly Daryl's position that he does when he's an infant. Let's move on. Daryl said Ecclesiastes 7:29 is not talking about an infant. Well, when did God make the infant? You could say when he was born or when he was conceived. God had made man upright. When is that? When he's 5 years old, 10 years old, 15? Or when he's conceived or born, whichever way you want to look at it. Now Daryl said, this is talking about Adam, because the word man here is the word Adam. Okay? And Daryl knows my response is, he already knows this information. That's because the Hebrew word Adam means man. Every time you see man in the Hebrew, it's the word Adam. Notice Genesis chapter 6, verse 7 for a moment. Now, we could do this countless times because the word man, every time in the Hebrew, is the word Adam. And Daryl knows that. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. Let me ask you, this is the same Hebrew word, and it's translated man in Genesis 6, verse 7. And let's see. He said, this is the word, and God has made man upright. That man there is from the Hebrew word that is also translated Adam. Therefore, this has to become an Adam only. Let's look at Genesis 6, verse 7. Same Hebrew word is in there twice. It's the word for Adam, and it's translated man. It says, this is having to do with the flood. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Who's going to destroy in the flood? Was it Adam? No, he's already dead. Who's it talking about? It's talking about mankind, isn't it? Yeah, it's the word for Adam here. It's the same Hebrew word. Did you say number 120, James? Strong's number 120. Then it says, created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing. That's the word Adam also. Most every time you see the word man in the Old Testament, if not every time, it's the word Adam. That doesn't mean it's talking about Adam himself. That's the way, what the word for man is in Hebrew, Adam. When God named Adam, he named him man. That's what he named him, man. Now, is that man in Genesis 6, verse 7? Is that just Adam? According to Daryl's reasoning, according to Daryl's argument it was, but I don't think he really believes his argument because he knows. He knows the Hebrew well enough to know that when you see the word man like this in the Hebrew, even when it's not just talking about Adam, it's the word Adam because that's what Adam means, man. He knows that, yet he made the argument anyway. Why did he make that argument when he knows that? Now, go back and look at Ecclesiastes. This word man, yeah, it's the Hebrew word for Adam. That can mean Adam, that particular man who was married to Eve, or it can mean mankind, any man. That's what it means. Man and Adam is the same in Hebrew. How do I know that's not just Adam? Everybody turn to Ecclesiastes, because I'm going to show you something that I just referred to before, but since he made this point, I'm going to look at it more carefully. It says, God has made man upright, but they
Now that, he said it's not plural man. That's, look at Genesis 6, 7. It's not plural there either. I'm going to create man. Man from the face of the earth. It's a bunch of men, though, isn't it? Because man there means what we can use the word mankind for. That's singular, mankind. God made man. Is that mankind, as in Genesis 6, 7, or is that just Adam? Let's look. But they, that's plural. It's not just Adam. It's not just Adam, Daryl. It says, have sought out many inventions. Is that just that one sin of eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Many sinful schemes. This describes every one of us. It can't be talking about just Adam. Adam's not a they. Mankind is not upright, was made upright. But they're not upright anymore because they, plural, have sought out many inventions. Not one, but many. Now let's look at who he's talking about in Ecclesiastes 7. Now we're looking at 29, but look at verse 20 first. What is, and I think we assume this is Solomon. Like Carol pointed out to me the other day, it says at the beginning, the son of David, the preacher. We assume it's Solomon. Solomon said, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Who's he talking about? Just Adam or mankind in general? Now let's go a little bit, that's the context. Let's go look at verse 28. Which yet my soul seeketh, I find not one man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those I have not found. He found one man in a thousand that's following God. And he hadn't found one woman, he said. Is this man just Adam? Then he says, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought many inventions. You mean in verse 20, in verse 28, when he says man, and he's criticizing him, that they're all sinners, which we are. He's talking about all of mankind, that's the word for Adam. But all of a sudden, verse 29, he's all of a sudden talking about Adam? He's not doing that. He's talking about all of mankind all the way through. God created man, mankind upright, that's each and every one of us, but they have sought out many inventions. Plural people, plural sins. Not the one sin of Adam in the garden. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? You'd have to work real hard to try to get around that. Why would you want to try to get around it? That's my question. When these verses are so clear, when God comes right out and says in Ezekiel 18:20 that my position is true, right out, with no ambiguity at all, why would you want to try to get around it? Do you get any kind of penalty for believing what the Bible says directly? Do you get the law of the land? I hadn't heard of them penalizing you if you don't believe in original sin, if you believe what Ezekiel 18:20 says. Why would you work so hard to try to get around it? I can't understand that. And then he says Jeremiah 19 verse 4 is not talking about babies. Look at that again. It calls them innocent. And it's talking about people burning their sons or children with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. Now what was going on there is they were burning their children. And I'm assuming infants and up, probably even up to 10 years old. I don't know. They weren't doing adults though. They were taking children and offering the sacrifice to their idol, God, Baal. The Bible calls them innocent. Now, if Daryl's true and they're not born innocent, how could they be innocent? They've got the original sin of Adam on them. Now remember, that same word is used to describe Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 4. What did it mean there? Remember, the people who are aborting babies and the doctors who are doing it, aren't they shedding the blood of innocence the same as these people were doing? What does that mean? I think we know what it means. And then he said, in Isaiah 59, verse 2, we're talking about babies. Well, he's talking about anybody. He says, your iniquities have separated between your God. Daryl doesn't believe that. Whose iniquities, when I was born, whose iniquities does Daryl think separated me from God? Who? Mine or Adam's? We made it clear in that speech, he believes Adam's did. This verse says, your iniquities have separated between your God. It's irrelevant what that says is. I'm directly about inference or not, that's not the point. What separated them from God? The Bible says their own iniquities. When I became at the age of accountability where I knew what the difference in right and wrong, and then I sinned, I was separated from God. All of us, that occurred to all of us at one time or another. Different people at different ages, depending on what age we matured and became responsible. Daryl didn't believe that. He didn't believe you were separated from God at that point. He believes you were separated from God all the way back yonder before you were born. Because you had the sin of Adam on you. But this says your iniquities, not Adam's, separated from between you and your God. Everybody turn to Hebrews 4:15. My friend Daryl talked about billions of people. Not one of them slipped up and lived without sin. And that's supposed to prove that we inherit the sin of Adam? And all that proves is that we all sin. That's my point. The reason we're lost is because we sin. And all of us are lost. And Adam sins, the fact that all of us sin proved that we inherited the sin of Adam. No, that proves all of us sin. Daryl, think about this. He said not one of them slipped up and lived without sin. Is he right about that? He's dead wrong. And that invalidates his whole argument. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, Hebrews 4:15, yet without sin. That invalidates Daryl's whole argument. Because for his argument to be true, out of all those billions of people, every single one of them had to sin. And even if that were so, all that would prove is that all of us sin. Not that we inherit any sin. But it can't prove his argument because there's one person that didn't sin. And he was tempted just like we are. Let me mention one thing else. All these beings sin, and that proves we inherited sin. But did Adam sin? He did. Did that prove he inherited sin? You see Daryl's argument? All these people sin, that proves they inherited Adam's sin. But did Adam sin? Yes. Is that because he inherited sin or because he chose to sin? Which one? Daryl doesn't believe he inherited original sin or total depravity. Why does Daryl believe that Adam sinned? Because he chose to. So Daryl, why don't you believe that about everybody else? We all sin because we choose to, just like Adam. Not because we inherited anything. Because we all choose to. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. That's a very important passage in this debate. I'm glad that Daryl got that in his first piece. First of all, let's notice a few details. One little detail he said about Romans 5. And then we'll notice the broad picture. In Romans 5, verse 14, and I may have missed this, but it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, so they all died, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. And I thought Daryl was saying that shows they had died even though they hadn't sinned. I think that's what he said, the argument he made. That's not what it's saying at all. It says they died even though they had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Meaning, as the New King James says, they didn't sin in the likeness Adam had. You couldn't. There's no way you could sin. The only person that sinned like Adam did was Eve. Nobody else. We're driven out of the Garden of Eden. You can't sin by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, but the point of the verse is all these people die even though they did sin, but not in the same way that Adam did. They died, right? Didn't they all sin? Of course they did. Daryl acted like that said. He said they died even though they didn't sin. No, he believes all sin. He just got through saying that. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not saying they didn't sin. It's saying they died because they sinned, but they didn't sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. They didn't sin like he did. How do I know that they died because they sinned? Well, Romans 5 verse 12 at the end of the verse says, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. So they did sin, and they died because of it spiritually, but they didn't sin the same way that Adam did. That's the point. They sinned a different way. So what does that prove? Of course they sinned a different way. It would be impossible for them to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were driven out of the garden. They didn't have access to that. Now let's look at what Romans 5:12 says. Romans 5:12 through the end of the chapter basically is one section. There are two indisputable facts that are taught by this passage. One, sin entered into the world through Adam. And death by sin. That's what the first part of Romans 5:12 says. So men die spiritually due to Adam's sin, only in, Daryl writes this down, only in that he started it. He sinned, therefore he died spiritually. That opened the door for others to do the same. All of us following the footsteps of Adam, we die spiritually due to our own sin. You see what that's saying? Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Two facts. Sin entered into the world through Adam. He was the first one. But we all die spiritually because of our own sin. That's what verse 12 says. Death passes upon all men, not for the reason that Daryl says, because Adam sinned, but because we all sinned. Isn't that what the verse says? Now, Daryl used this as an affirmative proof. But I should have used it as an affirmative for me, because it says, death passes on all men for that all have sinned. Not because of Adam's original sin, but because we sinned. Do you see that? Now, other verses in the context, he read some of them. For example, verse 19, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, are true in that through Adam, sin entered into the world. He got the ball rolling. But verse 12, as that death passed on all men, for that all sinned. We're not spiritually responsible for what he did. But he got the ball rolling. He started it. Now let's illustrate that. I like this illustration because I like sports. It's a Jackie Robinson illustration. Now I'm trying to pattern these sentences just like the same sentences of Romans 5. So you can understand what's being said here. Alright? Suppose I said this. James, you like baseball then, sir? Alright. He's grinning over there. He likes baseball. Wherefore, as by one black... That should say... No. Wherefore, as by one man, black players entered into Major League Baseball, and I'm going to call that MLB from now on, and big money to black MLB players, and so big money passed upon all black MLB players for that all black MLB players have played. Just like Romans 5, verse 12. Do you see that? How does Jackie Robinson help the other blacks? Do they get a big salary because of him? Yes, in a sense. Because he was the first one. Before him, nobody who was African American got to play in Major League Baseball, so they didn't get big money. So they owe a lot to him. Because he was the first one. He broke the racial barrier, as we would say. But really, they get a big salary because of who? Did they get part of Jackie Robinson's salary? No. They got in there because of Jackie Robinson, but they get paid big bucks because of their own great baseball abilities. Do you see that? If I said that, what's at the top of that chart, which I patterned after Romans 5, verse 12, you wouldn't think all the black players inherited Jackie Robinson's salaries, would you? Surely not. Surely his children inherited salaries. Now let's look at a verse that parallels to verse 19. For by one man's play, many blacks were made Major League Baseball players. Is that true? Yes. It's not that they inherited his money or they inherited that they played through him or anything like that or inherited his place, but he led the way. He got the ball rolling. He became the first one so that they would be allowed to follow through. Jackie Robinson paved the way for other blacks to play in the MLB by being the first. He got started, he got the ball rolling. Likewise, Adam paved the way for other people to sin by being the first to sin. He got it started, he got the ball rolling. But Romans 5:12b shows the clear answer to our debate, for that all has sinned. You see that? That's the point of verse 12, and that's the point of the whole section, of the second part of this chapter. Wherefore, as by one man sin enters into the world, verse 12, and death by sin. Remember, he was the first one. He got the ball rolling, just like Jackie Robinson. So death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. But they didn't inherit his salary. They are paid big salaries because of him, in the sense that because he got the ball rolling, now they're allowed to play. But they don't inherit his salary. They get the big money because they play themselves. That's verse 12. So death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Now, do y'all see that point? If you don't see that point because it's too long and involved, just read Romans 5:12b, and it gives you the answer. Death passed upon all men for that all has sinned. Darrell believes death passes on all men because of Adam's sin. The Bible says death passes upon all men because they have sinned. Do you see that? That's the difference. I believe what the Bible says on that, and I'm not going to question his honesty, but Darrell's position contradicts what the Bible says there. How many minutes? 2 minutes, James, or a little bit less? A minute and a half. Let's go back to Ezekiel 18:20. Now, I want you to look at that carefully. Is that hard for anybody to understand? It's not hard for me to understand. It's not. I don't think it's one of those hard-to-be-understood things that Peter said that Paul did. Paul wrote some things hard to be understood. It's in 2 Peter, I believe. I don't think it's one of those. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Whether you're talking about an infant or a 95-year-old man, it's still true. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. When Seth was born, was he the son of Adam's era? He was. Did he inherit? Did he bear the iniquity or inherit the sin of his father, Seth, Darrell? You believe he did. Whether you're saying this is talking about infants or not, that's irrelevant. He believes the son inherited the sin of his father. Seth inherited that sin of his father, Adam. And then Seth's son, and daughters too, I'm just skipping, saving time. It goes to the father and the mother. Daughters, sons, it goes all the way down to Darrell and me. All the way down through Noah and his wife, and their three sons, and their three daughters, all the way down to us. Darrell believes that sin just passed all the way down. So if there's been 1 billion people, let's say that means there's been 1,000 generations. So if just guessing, a thousand generations from here to Adam, maybe not that many times, but if it was a thousand generations, Daryl believes the Son bore the iniquity of the Father 1,000 times. It's actually a lot more than that, since there's been a billion births, so he believes time.
Yes, sir.
Just read Ezekiel 18:20. I'm talking too much. You can understand it for yourself. It's not hard.